Okay, we're picking up eight lines from the bottom of Lamed Vav Amud Beis. We're up to the words Amar Le Rav Ashi the Rav Oshia Breder of Idi. So now the Gemara is discussing Hasam Tanya. We learned it in a Breisam, really it's actually Tanya. It's really a Breisam. Either way, the Breisam tells us Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says Kol Shisha Omer Kol Shab Adam Shloshim Yom Ino Nefel. So if any new board, he says Ba'adam, why Ba'adam Rashi points out Ba'adam specifically because at the end of the brace, that's not quoted by the Gemara over here, it says that the animals are going to have a different gedarim for how we define a newborn amongst the animals, whether they'll survive or not, for inyanim of bechor that you give to a kohen. Okay, not for now. So, but etzem, we're talking about Adam. So, newborn amongst humans that survives for 30 days, shloshim yom eino nefel, is not going to be considered a nefel. So, even if it dies after the 30 days, it's assumed to have been a child, which was a child that was able to live. And the big nafkamina for that, the child that has survived for 30 days, that would free the mother from the zika to the yavam. And meaning if there's no other children, and even if the child then subsequently dies, the mother's not going to be shy to the oven because the husband had a child at the time of his death. That's the whole point of it, a child at the time of his death, and that's why it would be good. But let's say the Mishnahs later are going to talk about you have Reuven and Sarah, and they have a child, Yisachar. So if Yisachar dies first, and then Reuven dies, even the child was 10 years old, and that was their only child, then Allah says, Yitakadu Yibim. So that's important to know. But here, if the father had died with a child, even though the child subsequently dies, it doesn't matter, the Allah is there's no Yibim at the state where he died. Even if he subsequently died. But if he did not survive the 30 days, it's considered, we're not sure. And therefore, the halacha would be that you have to do chalitza. She's required the chalitza because maybe he was not able to live, but you can't do yibam because maybe taka, he really was a child, he died for other reasons. Let's say whatever, someone done something he didn't realize, it covered him with a blanket, really was a child that was able to live. The itmar, and we also learn regarding this halacha, meis pesoch shloshim yom, that if the infant who was the son, the only child of the father, if he dies within 30 days, Amda ben Iskach, and the mother went and married somebody else. Oh, it's important to know. So Rashi also says that the Gemara is first the case only were unsure the child was a full term baby. If the child was a full term baby, even if he's less than 30 days, then based on the Gemara, neither Rashi points out that would immediately free the mother. If he's a full 9 month baby, we assume that it's able to last. So now back to over here, what happens if again we're talking about the Suffolk case, where let's say it was an early baby, it was a preemie, and it doesn't necessarily going to last 30 days, and this lady went and she got married. She married herself off to somebody else. She only did the kedushin process, not the nisuin yet. Ravina Mishmeder Rav Amar im Eishes Yisraeli Choletzes. If she's a wife of Yisraelis, who is then permitted to then accept the kedushin of her husband again, her husband she now took. So what will happen is that her husband she just took will divorce her. She receives chalitza and then she'll remarry him. So she must perform chalitza. So that would be the din over here. V'im Eishes Koyani. She doesn't have to get divorced necessarily. She could just do a chalitza. She's allowed to marry a chalitza. However, if it's an Eishes Kohen, where if she does chalitza with the first guy as a suffix, because maybe this child was not able to live, then ain't a chalitza. She doesn't have to do chalitza because that would invalidate her midrabanan from being able to marry this man. So in order to preserve this new marriage, we allow her to just avoid the chalitza. The Gemara is going to discuss why in the world is okay. What do you mean? There's something to raise over here. We're going to discuss that. So the Gemara says, Rav Misharshia, Mishmei Degov Amar, Achazav Achazav Chalitzes, both of them require chalitza, and in Echanami, that the one over here, to cover the fact that maybe the child wasn't able to live 30 days, and we're going to say that you require chalitza, and she's not allowed to marry the kohen. In the case of the kohen, it's her fault. I'm right there, Ravina Rav Misharshia, so Ravina says to Misharshia, turning out to the stable now, Beorsa Amar Rav Ahachi. That really Rava said, as you said, that you have to do chalitza even if she accepted the kedusha from a case of a kohen. However, in the morning, when he weren't there, Hitaka went back on it. He decided to change his mind. He thought about the sugya at nighttime, and he changed his mind that in the case of a kohen, you would not need to do chalitza. So Amar Rav Misharshia said back to Ravina, Sharisu, Yei Rava Ditarshia Fatarba. Did he really say that he permitted this woman to marry that chalitza? It's going to be a rava, like it should be Hashem's will that you should permit the chalev to be eaten by people. This is treif, chazer treif. What in the world is going on? How are you telling me this? Meaning, he's saying he's so misspoiled. How could rava agree with this psak? It doesn't make any sense. So the Gemara says that what the Gemara now discusses Rav Ashi's question to Rav Oshia Bar Vidit. Here, with regard to the pregnant wife, the nursing wife of the guy who married the kohen, what's the halacha? Is it similar to this? Meaning, because really the halacha is Rabbi Meir says you have to get divorced as a punishment, never allowed to marry her even if it's Yisrael. Chachamim say no, you just get divorced and you're allowed to remarry her 24 months when the 24 months are up, when the 2 years pass. So now, what about here when she marries illegally a kohen? We're talking about when she marries within the 3 months. She didn't wait the 3 months and she married illegally. So can we say that she does not need to, again, where the Menekas Chaviro or Muberes Chaviro and she didn't wait? In those cases, she violated the takana, Rabbanan to wait 2 years. So now the halacha question over here is, do we make you do a takana or not? So that's the shayla, meaning that do we make you get divorced? If she's a kohen, you will not be able to marry her. Amalei. So now you're going to say that, you know, you say, hacha hashta, here you're going to compare the two cases. Bishla mahasam, I understand the case where the infant who died within 30 days, that the case is by a chalutz of a kohen, don't make you do, to give him to Ikar Rabbanan, to plegal the Rabbishim Bagaliel, so this is really going to be the svara now. How is it that you're leaving an Isra Daraisa at stake? Because here, really, the Rabbanan disagreed with Rabbishim Bagaliel's gather of a person who is not able to live. Damre Alpha Gav Delosha Vlad Malyahu, that even in the case where the infant child did not survive the 30 days, we still assume that the child was able to live and he died for other reasons, other circumstances. That's based on the Gemara and Shabbos. The Gemara says, Chachamim argue with Rabbishim Bagaliel, and they hold that the child is going to be viable, he is able to live within 30 days. So here also. So Gabi Ish is going to give him the last Shardin and Karabana. So then when the wife of the coin, there is, we lechumra say like to do Rabbi Shimon Baglial to require chalitza, but where this chumra is melita kula, you're not allowed to remarry this lady because she, or you're not allowed to stay married to this lady because now she'll be a chalitza. So then Ikar Adin, we're going to paskin like we really do, like the Ikar Adin, like the Rabbana, and that's the majority. Bin and the Ritu points out, and therefore we're really paskinning the Ikar Adin like the Chachamim will argue on Shimon Gamliel. Where we have no choice, then where we have no choice, we'll paskin like Chachamim. Where we have a choice, we'll be machber and try to be like Chachamim that you do require chalitza. And that would be like an Ashes Israel who's allowed to then continue being married to the Israel. But where there's a case of a Kohen, as we're pointing out, Lo Eshar Avdinan Kerabanim. Aval Hacha Kiman Avi. But here in the case of the pregnant nursing woman, who are you following? Ikar Bimeir, I'm going to follow Ikar Meir. How may Yotiv Lo Yavshu Lomis? Yisar Rabbi Meir says, you're never allowed to get remarried as a punishment, as a Knas, as a Knas Terabanim. You're never allowed to get married to this lady if you marry her within 2 years. And Aviv Karabanan, Amrei give again. And Rabbanan say that the only way to get out is by giving her a get. Over here, you give her a get, you're going to apostle her to remarry to this guy. He's going, great, she violated the law. I don't care, that's her fault. So therefore, we say in Echanami, that would be the case over here. Now the Gemara continues, Itmar. We learn, Kitcha B'Sof Slosha Barach. What happens to the guy? So again, we pointed out, you have to wait the 3 months. That's a woman's not allowed to marry 3 months of elapse from the previous marriage to know who this child is of certainty. We want to make sure, avchana, to know who this child is, even if it has nothing to do with Yibum. The halacha is, anyway, any woman who gets divorced, no matter when it is, the halacha is she has to wait 3 months before she's remarried to someone else, because let's say maybe she's pregnant, and that's a low plug, no matter what. We're very makbid about that. There was once a case, Rosh Hashanah quoted as a shir once, that this lady got divorced, or so she thought back then. There used to be a lot of people like imitation rabbis, not like we have Bat HaDinim or organized Baruch Hashem in America now, but the imitation rabbi just give gittin and say, oh, you're divorced, and not have edim, not have any kosher thing, nothing. So the rabbi discovered this family wasn't so from that she got divorced. This was like a few years ago, but they realized that it really wasn't a kosher whatsoever. It wasn't a kosher get. So it wasn't a kosher get, and she was like scheduled to get married the next week. And the rabbi, in discovering he was a masadic future for the future marriage, realized she's an Asian teresa. So she had to get the husband was still alive. She went to go get a real get in front of edim. So now the shaila is, even though this was many years ago, it was 7 years ago she divorced her husband, now that's really the get, that the halacha of Avchana kicked in. That was a very major shayla. Or Moshe dealt with that shayla, I think. That was the whole shayla that they asked Moshe, and Rosh Hashanah discussed that and shared. Okay, that's this halacha over here, that you have to wait 3 months. That's where, really, it was Manasseh, you hope, you know, God getting married 3 months later, really, that's not so common. But this halacha could be that they thought she got divorced, she really didn't. That's a case for Moshe to deal with. Anyway, back to over here. So we say over here that you have to give her a get. So now the Gemara discussing Machlokas Tanayim about similar halachas. Itmar, Kidsha B'Sof Shlosha Barach. So here, again, as we just mentioned, that you married within 3 months, you violated the halacha, then you ran away. So plead Rav Avraham, you only did Kiddushin. Rav Avraham, Chadar Mar Mishtaminale. We put him in Nidui. Put him in Nidui means that you have to like act like your mom is in prison. I'll be within Dalad Amos of him. We basically curse him that he should die. He has to keep Shiva. He's not allowed to wear shoes. He's for him to cut his hair, launder his clothing. His mom is like, it's a curse that we basically come that he should be dead, and we force him to give the get. No, the fact that he ran away, that's enough, because in the day there's no need to force him to divorce her until meaning that later, at least 24 months later, then his husband is refusing to give a get, then we obviously would force him. But here, let's say he ran away, he ran away to Bnei Brak. So the fact that he's in Bnei Brak and he's nowhere with his wife, he's not afraid they're going to be with her, then they only do Kiddusha prizes, and we don't force him to get divorced. So now that's the shiloh here. The fact that you ran away, that's enough. So that's the shiloh. So the Gemara says, this has once happened. Ve'amar lo, Rafram, Arisak, Irikuse, Masaise. That they're the running away is enough, meaning he passing like this, that the fact that you're not together is going to be enough. That's what we see over here. Okay, that was the end of that case. Now we're up to the next point. Sevek Bintisha, is the possibility of the ninth month for the first brother, or the fact that there's a seventh month for the second brother. So now the Gemara points out, Amar le, Ravler of Nachman, Lema halacha rov nasha. Wait a second over here. Why are we saying that this is not? Why don't we just determine? Halacha is Ochen Al Pirav, right? Al Pirav. The Hados Pasuk in Chumash tells us that you go after the rove. That's a din d'oraisa. So you follow the rove. So here also, you follow the rove. The wolf, remember the rove. National edition. The most majority of women give birth after 9 months. So we should say that the child definitely is from the first, the idape from the first marriage, and therefore they would not have to bring an asham taloi. They'd have to bring a vaday and asham achatas, not just an asham taloi, and it would force to get divorced even a love of the race, so that a safek could be a love of the race every time that he's with her, he'd be violating a visit to the race of ishas achiv. So Amar Lei, now she did on the Shiva Yaldan. So Rav Nachman responded, no, because people in my family, I know many of them will give birth early. They give birth at 7 months. So the Gemara asked him, Amar Lei, now she did Chulavi Ruba. Who cares about your family, Rav Nachman? Tell me that you know that your family, that people give birth in 7 months. What's the most of the world? Most of them, even if it's not as dead, they won't give birth after 9 months, in the ninth month. So Amar Lei, Rav Nachman is clarifying what he meant. Alchi, come here, this is what I meant to say. Rav Nashim Yaldan Latisha Umiyat Lashiva. The majority of women give birth at 9 months, and a minority are giving birth at 7 months. Everybody who gives birth at 9 months, though, the fetus is notable right at the beginning of the 3 months. This yavam, because she got married around the 3 month time, right around the 3 month time, and they weren't able to know it, the fetus was not nikar, so then that's a big shayla. The majority is weakened, it's lowered by her, because at the end of the day, she did not show signs of being pregnant, and therefore, there's really a certainty case that maybe it's true, that maybe it's like, it's the 7 month, and you can't go after the rov. The rov itself is weakened, it's not a strong enough rov that you can be holy chachar this rov. So the Gemara asks the kasha though, equally all those tisha obra nikah l'shisha me'ah. But you're going to say everybody who within 9 months the fetus is notable in 3 months, and ha, ben de lo kriyam esh l'shisha me'ah, obra vaday bar shiva l'vatzeros, and then take it to the other side. You said everybody who was within 9 months, you'll be able to tell within 3 months that the baby was nikah because she was pregnant, and anybody who's not is not going to be pregnant. So then assume that she wasn't pregnant from the first one. She's vaday, certainly part of the second one. You don't even bring an asham anymore. They're allowed to stay remain together because the fact that they definitely are is a 7 month from the second marriage. That's clearly what's going on over here. So therefore the Gemara says no. Ela ema rov ayol de tisha. That most women who give birth in 9 months, the fetus is normal after the third, of which is going to be within 3 months. The fact that you couldn't notice within 3 months, it's hardly ruba. Therefore, the robe is weakened, and therefore you don't have a robe for her to assume what to do. And we're marrying suffix, and that's why you bring an asham talay. Okay, now the market is Son of Rishon, Roy, so let's say that this family, that again, Reuven died, and he was married to Ravena, and Shimon then subsequently does even with her, but he doesn't wait the 3 months, and we don't know. So the first child, if they were a Kohanim, is royally as Kohen Gadol. Meaning, it's a lasha that means that it's the most chashuv person in Klal Yisrael he's allowed to be, because Mamonashach, either it was Reuven's child and Shimon had correctly done Yibum, or it was not Reuven's child and Shimon was born Reuven was married to Ravena, and they potentially had a child. They weren't sure. They waited and waited 3 months, and then Shimon subsequently does what he thinks was Yibum. So now, if it was born to Reuven and Ravena, so then it's totally kosher. It was Reuven's child, is a Kohen Gadol. The fact that the Shimon is violating Halacha with Reuven's current mother, who cares? That's not the point. That's not the point of this child. And now, and the other side is that really it wasn't the child of Reuven and Ravena, rather it was of Shimon and Ravena. Shimon and Ravena. So then the Halacha would be that it's Shimon's child, and that would be he'd be royal Kohen Gadol Mamonashach. So that's the point. However, Shani, Mamazer Misafik, the second child, if they continue being married, so now she's a Safik Eishas Achiv, and that halacha is Eishas Achiv is an Isser Daraisa, which doesn't get removed because the only case of Yibum is removed, and there is no Yibum over here. So then the halacha is he's a Safik Mamzer, and Isser Kares creates Mamzeris. That's according to the Tana over here. Clearly, the Tana is following the Tana that all these are Kares. Some hold only Isser Misa, some hold even in Isser Lav. That's Rabbi Kiva. Okay, so we're going to see this later. This Machlokes, but now he's with the Gemara's clay passing that the one who holds that it's a Safik Kares creates Mamzeris. And therefore, we see that it's going to be a suffix mamzer. So, Zerah Yaakov and mamzer suffix. But Lazar says it's not a mamzer out of doubt. So, the Gemara asks, what are you saying? Clearly, there's a suffix mamzer over here. So, as Amar Abaye, this is what Rabbi Lazar meant to say. Lazar ben Yaakov meant to say the following. Hachi kamar, Rishon roi liois koin gadol. The Tana Kama says the first child is fit to be a koin gadol. Vashani suffix mamzer v'asim mamzeris. The second child is a pasim mamzer who is forbidden to marry him mamzeris. That since it's only that he's a possible mamzer, he's not only a suffix mamzer, he's not allowed to marry a vade mamzer. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov Amar ain't a suffix mamzer. He's not treated as a possible mamzer. A vade mamzer and mutter mamzer, he's considered a vade mamzer and allowed to marry a mamzer. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov is understanding that a suffix mamzer is not forbidden to marry a mamzer. Rather, a suffix mamzer is, regarding to this halacha, is no different than a definite mamzer and allowed to marry a mamzer. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov is understanding that when the Torah says a mamzer, lo yavo mamzer, lekal Hashem, that means it's only usher when it's a vade mamzer. But a suffix mamzer is also, it's only usher to marry a Jew is fully kosher, but if someone who's only a suffix mamzer is allowed to marry him, that would not be the issur d'oraisa, and they can marry her. So the Gemara says, Rav Amar Alchi Gemara, no, Rishon Roy Lios Kohen Gadol, the first one is fit to be a Kohen Gadol, V'sheni Mamzer V'adai Misafik Umutim Mamzeres. The second one, who is a definite mamzer because of the case of Adel, is permitted to marry a mamzer. It's Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov Vaymer. Ain vaday mamzer misafik. He's not treated as a definite mamzer because of the case of a doubt. El safik mamzer va'aser b'mamzeres. Rather, it's a possible mamzer is forbidden to marry a mamzeres. So the Rava is taking the views of Tanakam and Rabbi Lazar, exact opposite as Rabbi explained it to be. So Gemara says, why are they arguing? Let's go with Kalifikate with Rabbi Lazar. They're arguing whether or not we accept the ruling of Rabbi Lazar. It's not Rabbi Lazar Oimer. Vadam vaday muta. The marriage between the definite one and definite one is going to be permitted. Over here, this Mishnah is talking about the Asara Yuchsin of the people who are qualified, who are allowed to marry each other. Gemara has Kohanim, Levim, Israel, Nasinim, Gerim, Shukraim, all these different halachas. So now, in this Mishnah, Rabbi Lezer is saying that only a definite one is permitted to marry, The example, Mamzer is only marry is allowed to marry a Nasina, because Nasina is a time that there were people who faked the conversion, and Yoshua ben Nun already established that they have to be, remain slaves now that they're intermarried with Kal Yisrael, even though they converted. So now you're allowed to marry them. So a Mamzer is allowed to marry them. So Rabbi Lazar again, vadam mutar, vadam is fakan, usfakam vadam, usfakam is fakan, usr. Then in the case of a definite one of them, an uncertain one of us, a certain one is again, let's say an uncertain nisino or an uncertain mamzer, so not allowed to marry them, because maybe one of them is really kosher. Or the, again, usfakam usfakan, even in a suffix of them, a suffix mamzer, to a different suffix mamzer is going to be usr, because maybe this suffix mamzer taka really wasn't a mamzer. And this one really was a mamzer, so then a mamzer would be cutting out marrying a mamzer, non-mamzer, so that would be the problem. Elo and sveka, so this is a case of a question mark, is Shtuki Vesufi, because now we mentioned them. Shtuki, Asufi, and Akusi. Who's a Shtuki? A Shtuki, these are examples that the Gemara mentions in Kiddushin. A Shtuki is somebody who is his mother's Shasuk, like she says, shh, because he doesn't know who the father is. It's unknown who the father is, and we're afraid the father is really a mamzer. And Asufi, also, someone who just found, we find him on the streets of the Abdullah, going to this, they put him on the streets of the church. Like, we don't know who they are. In that case, we're afraid there's real mamzer, so they're really married. So that's also a Shaila. And Akusi is somebody who converted, but we're not really sure what type of conversion they have, and they don't hold of Torah Shabbal Pes, so therefore, they don't even hold of Kiddushin. They don't hold of Kiddushin only through Star. They don't hold of Kiddushin of money. Other way, they hold of money and Star. They don't hold of they only hold of Bia. So because they don't hold the Torah Shabbat Peh. So anyway, so they would allow you to get divorced without a get in those circumstances, which would be a mamzer's case by us. So therefore, there are suffering mamzer's also. They're not allowed to marry each other. So Rav Yehuda says, Amar Rav Aluda, Amar Rav Alach, Rabbi Lazar. Rav said that Lachavals Rabbi Lazar in this manner, and the Gemara points out, Ki Amar Sekamei the Shmuel Amar Li. So when I said this halacha, the Rav Paskin, like Rabbi Lazar, Shmuel told me that Asara Yuchsin Ala B'Bavel, that the 10 cases which we mentioned, who came up to Bavel, from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, Kanav Yisrael, Chalalei Guru V'Shukrai, these are examples, Kohen Avim, Yisrael, that's 3, Chalalim are child of a product of a person who was a divorcee, who marries a Kohen, their child will be a Chalal, a convert and a freed slave, Mamzer, Nesina, Shtuki, V'Sufei, all then, Kulamas and Lava Bazad. These are the 10 examples. And they are allowed, all then permitted to enter marriage with one another. Meaning, that obviously means that they're not allowed to marry and intermarry. Rather, it means that each class may intermarry with one next to them. I mean, that's what we're talking about here. Meaning that Kohanim, Levim, Israel, allowed to intermarry to each other. Levim, Israel, and Chalalim, converts, and Gerim, and Avadim, and Shukhrim are allowed to intermarry. Gerim, and Avadim, and Shukhrim to even Mamzerim. Why? Because that's only because that's not called Kal Hashem. Gerim are not in Kal Hashem. They're allowed to marry them. But now you tell me the halacha follows Rabbi Lazar, meaning that how could you Rabbi Lazar if we follow like Hillel? So the Gemara is pointing out, Abaye savar la kishmuel demar lacha kehillel. Abaye holds that the halacha should be like Shmuel, muki la Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov ali b'dehochasa ki yechidi lo detik shalchasachasacha. Because as Rashi points out, lamadayim aveis, that we always paskin like Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov, based on the Gemara in Gittin, which says that Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov kav v'naki. That he always had a clear Masorah, we always paskin like him. So if we want to keep the halacha like Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov, then we want to keep that principle. So Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov must be the one who hold that, by saying that the halacha follows Hillel, he must explain that Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov in a way that would be the sheet of Hillel. So therefore, by his understanding of Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov that he is not a mamzer out of Suffolk means that a possible mamzer does not have to address the possibilities of his doubtful status. Rather, he's like a definite mamzer and milat to marry a mamzer, like Hillel paskin. And Rava savala kirav dem ralach Rabbi Lazar. Rava holds no, this Masorah that we follow Rabbi Lazar, so therefore he wants to make a Rabbi Lazar Aliba de Hilchasa. So there would not be a contradiction between Hilchasa and Hilchasa also according to his report. So therefore once Rabbi Paskin is like Rabbi Lazar, he's forced to understand Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov that he's not, is not a Mamzer. Misafik means that a possible Mamzer cannot be treated like a definite Mamzer because of the Safik. And therefore he explains that the case of a Safik is like, is allowed to not be married, and therefore he's not allowed to be Mamzer because of the fact that maybe he's really kosher. That's how Rabbi is going to explain it. Very good. So Zakta Gemara, Amar Abaye, Mina Minala. From where do I know this halacha? The Chol Sveikal or Belazer Ben Yaakov Kivada Mishvilei. The Belazer Yaakov treats every certain for certain uncertain case like a definite case. The Tana Belazer Ben Yaakov, Vayimer Harei Sheba Unless You Marbe. If a woman, a man has bia with many women, Veino Da Elo Isman, but he doesn't know which one he had bia with. Vechein Sheba Le Anav Shemarbe. Veino Da Isman, but Kibla. Then says Ab Noses Bito could come out that this person is going to have a child. He's not going to even know who his daughter was, and he could end up having a bia with his daughter and end up marrying his daughter. Vach Noses Achoso, and a brother can marry his sister. And even though there's only a case of a doubt, maybe this will happen, because again, there's only multiple ones of them. This is what the pasuk is saying, that the whole land will be filled with zima, with people coming around and profaning themselves through having this vanity, whatever, terrible things of mamzerim and things like that. The fact that Blazer is Yaakov is saying this case only of a suffix mamzerim, we see that he considered a suffix mamzerim to be like a full-fledged vade mamzer. That's Rava, that's a bias proof. Rava, or not? Zima, what does it mean, zima? It doesn't mean their mom is going to be like zima, like as going to be mentioned, like it's going to be like the prayer, whatever, the lashon of mamzerim, vade mamzerim, rather, it means it's going to be zima, zoima, what is this? A possibility, maybe I'll be like a lot of mamzerim. Not necessarily Vaday. We're not treating him like Vaday. So Rav has defended his example. Now the Gemara says, Yes, Rav can Rav love Zer Yaakov. Lo yis adam isha b'medina zu. A man shouldn't marry a woman in one area. V'yelech isha b'medina acharis. And then go to, you live in New York, then don't go and marry another wife in Florida. Shemesh Dav Gazel Zeg. The children of the wife in the Florida, New York, aren't going to definitely know each other. Again, not like nowadays where you have a media picture that everyone knows each other. They're not even going to know each other. They're going to have a wife in Babel and a wife in Eretz Yisrael. And end up the children are going to marry each other. V'nim ta'ach no se'ach ozo. Brother's going to marry his wife. Any, so this is, so the Gemara points out, there's a crazy story like this, like Mordechai Eliyahu, I just was reading in his biography book, that there was Mamishless case, where they came to Beis Din, and like the first wife didn't know who her husband was, or something like that, and ended up being Mordechai Eliyahu, like in his Ruch, I was like, Ruch, this kept interrogating her about it, and basically ended up finding out that this woman, they ended up discovering who the father was, and it basically ended up being that half-brother and sister were going to marry each other. Mamash and Sidorai Zerzakaris. So that's, it was crazy. That's a crazy story. Anyway, back to Vir Eni. So it does happen in Yuzman Azeh. You think it's, this was like 4 years ago. Okay, fine, but still. Anyway, back to Vir Eni. Vaha, Rav, Kikla, Darisha, Marchas, when Rav would go to Darisha, a city he would frequently visit, he would announce, Man Havi Le Liome, who would marry me for the day that I'm here, for a few days, Rashi points out, a few days that I'm here, that I'm here. Rav was so machbir about not having any bad thoughts that he would want to marry a wife for just for the time that he'd be there for a week and then divorce her. And Nachman Kikli and Shemar Chiz Ramar, he was so holy. Rav had like 8 different takanas, 8 different hanhagos. Like he would never look Dalet Avos out of his life. So each of the Talmidim tried to accept one hanhaga of Rav. They couldn't accept everything. That's why we should try, like Rav Chaim, also when he passed away, obviously we can't have his asmada, just a little bit, try to take a little bit from his midos, his chesed, all these things, the time that he gave to other people, try to be more open, like, try to take some of his midos, he can't take all of his midos, we can't, Rav Chaim is once in a lifetime, but to try to take something from him. Anyway, back to here. So Rav would be so makbir about not having any bad thoughts. He would want to be married even where he would go because his wife wouldn't accompany him and he was afraid of sin. So similar, Rav Nachman also had this practice. He would say, who would marry for the day that I'm here? We see that they're Rabbanan. They took wives in other places even though they had families at home. So maybe they're going to have children. So the Gemara says, Shani Rabbanan, even if they ended up having a relationship with a lady to marry her, so and they ended up having children, everybody would know that it was Rav's children. It was the Gadol Dor. Everyone would know who his children are, and no one would come to marry the brothers and siblings. Gamar Rava. So wait a second, another problem with this practice though. If that a woman you say Harim HaKadosh, you want to marry her, so Tzich HaLeisha Shunu Kim, you have to observe 7 clean days before you're allowed to have Bia with her type relations, because we assume this is Dam Chimud, that she's so excited about the fact that the attraction to her husband that she's going to cause her to have blood. Even if you don't see the blood, we make you have Shiva Nakiyim. And so Lech HaLamaisi was one as well, so that's why you have to do Shiva Nakiyim before Mamash and make her in before the woman's getting married. So now, how do Rabbanan again have this practice in those places? So the Gemara says, Rabbanan Shluchay Havi Meshadri Modiluhu. The Rabbanan would send their Shluchay, they would send out their agents to go out to them, and they would be able to make sure to tell them before that they were coming, and therefore they would shit Shiva Nakiyim, and then they'd be able to marry them. If I say more, the Rabbanan Yechudu Be'almahud Me'achluhu. So the Gemara says that no, they weren't actually having bia with them. The other answer, the first answer is they would send out shluchim, so they would know 7 days and do it, then they were really having bia with them. The second answer is no, they weren't even having bia with them. They were just having yichud with them. They were temporary wives to avoid them having sins, but they weren't actually having marital relations. Because the whole point is that someone who has bread in his basket is not compared to someone who doesn't have bread in his basket. The fact that they know that they can't be with this lady is something that would avoid them having sin, and therefore it's less likely to have any issues over here. There's a major problem with the Gemara is that the fact that you're allowed, you're having a chuppas nido over here. That's a big question. How are you letting have nisuin? How are you letting having a stage of yichud when you're having yichud with somebody you never had married, you hadn't been with yet? The whole point of the only reason yichud is mutter with a man and his wife is because you had been with her previously. Here you haven't been with her yet, so that's all shaila. Rishonim are very bothered by this. Different rishonim, there's different answers. If you're already married to somebody else and you're already, it's for anybody who's married. If you have multiple wives, it's okay. Different answers to the rishonim to this very big question in the Gemara. Now the Gemara says Tana. Shouldn't marry his wife in mind to divorce her. Because don't have an evil plan towards your friend because you're living with you. So that's this pasuk in Mishle. He's telling us don't do this. So when the Meiri asks the Kasha, wait a second, Rabbi Lazar Yaakov, obviously he's not going to be telling us that the Rav and these great Gedolim had to violate this Isser. So clearly, maybe Rabbi Lazar Yaakov's statement wouldn't apply if, the Meiri points out, if you tell them in advance that this was their plan, and they would still be willing to do it, because who wouldn't want to be married for even for a few days to the Gadol Ador. Now the Gemara continues, Safik, V'yavim Shabbat, Lachlok B'nifsa Misna. If a person is a Safik, so in our example, that now going back to the case of Yerusha, in our cases that we had before, where we're not sure if it was from the first marriage or from the second marriage, and they're coming to argue. So again, Reuven died without any children, and Reuven does within 3 months has Bia with Shimon, and now this Shimon, they have a child, Yisachar. So Yisachar and Shimon are arguing over the state of Reuven. So Safik Amar, so Yisachar is arguing, Ana Bar Mitzvah, I am the son of Reuven, and I deserve his Nechasim. Therefore the state's mine and not yours, because it doesn't go to the brother, Makam, that there's a child. The child gets it. V'yavim Amar, Shimon's going to say, no, Atma tried to deal, you're my son. You have, I'm not giving anything into my possession until I die. Havi Mamon Mutav Safik, the Gemara points out, this is a case of Mamon that's in, each has equal claim to it, and the halacha is Mamon Mutav Safik Cholkin, that the money that's in doubt, we divide it. Is that really true? Don't we have a concept of Motzi Mechavir Al-Varaya? So Rishonim point that over here in Echanami. That's where there is a case of someone who's in possession of it. But here, since it's Mamish, it doesn't, no one has any possession of it whatsoever, and we don't know where the money is, so therefore we say, we don't say Motzi Mechavir Al-Varaya, there is no Motzi, because no one is in possession of it, they equally are able to split it up. Now another case. Safik Uvne Yavam Shabal Lachlok Menisa Misna. So in case we have again where the child of Reuven or maybe Shimon they come to take a state of, in this case the Yavam dies before the state of the first brother is given out. So therefore, so you have over here Shimon's other children. Shimon dies right now, and Reuven's estate hadn't been given out over here. So what happens over here? Safik Amar Hu Gavra Bar Misna Hu. So the one who's the son, Yisachar, who's the son of, who claims the son of Reuven, says, I'm the son of Reuven, and the state is therefore mine. But the other children are saying, Shimon's other children, you're our brother. Our father gave birth with your wife, with Reuven, to your half brother, and we all split the money equally. So you get a portion of Reuven's estate, because Shimon inherited Reuven, and then it's going to be divided amongst all of us, we all are entitled to it. That this is the case, this is a similar case to the Mishnah, the son of the Mishnah, who ain't a Yorish Osam, ain't Yorish Osam. So that the Mishnah is going to tell us in a case where a woman was widowed or divorced from her husband and remarried right after the child again was either 9 or 7 month baby. So now the Shaila is, what happens? So the halacha is, he doesn't inherit them. The example, if Reuben dies and inherits by his brothers, the one who's uncertain does not receive any portion of that inheritance, because the other brothers can say that it might be the other one's son, you're Shimon's son, and the other one's going to argue, no, you're not. So the Gemara says, but they inherit him, because it's not sure that the group of both of them are able to argue that they're really their brothers, and they can get possession of it. And here, it's going to be the reverse. Here the Mishnah is saying that you should bring a proof and the brothers take possession of it. And here he's saying, then bring them and take proof of us. So Amar Masha, Midami, the cases aren't comparable. Hasam inu vaday vinu safek. The Mishnah's case are definitely going to be the errors, and this one is an uncertain case. Acha idiv idiv safek. In our case, though, each one's going to be considered uncertain. Even though there is one definite error, his claim is that we don't know exactly. So hence, we are saying over here that we don't necessarily give them the status of the one is vaday claim, and it's going to be different. El idam the masnisin la'adam. If it's going to try to compare it to Mishnah, I'll compare it to the following. The safek bin yavam shabal lach benis the yavam gufe. The uncertain one, we don't know who he is. And the sons of the Yavam, the Shimon's son, will come to the possession of the Shimon's possession. Show us a proof that you're Shimon's other brother, and we'll give you a portion of Shimon's estate. We're not giving you a portion, and therefore they would win with that claim. And that's the case of the Mishnah. The case of the Yavam are definitely his sons, whereas the uncertain one's only possibly his son, so therefore in possession, and they cannot take anything without proof. So now the Gemara continues another fourth case. In a case where you have the certain one and the sons of Yavam who are coming to divide the state of the Yavam, the Basit of Yavam Menichzei Mista, where here after the Yavam already take portion of the state of the brothers, meaning that it was given to Shimon. So to bring a proof that you are a brother, they'll take a portion together with us. Amar Lo Safek, he's got the one who's a Safek, he's the same mother Shach. Whatever you are in the state, they'll slice it. I'm entitled to either my father's possession or Shimon's. If I'm your brother, because I was really born too, Shimon, after my, and not Reuven, I'm not the child, I'm the daughter of Reuvena, I'm the other, I'm your half brother. So I'm entitled to it. And if I'm the other way, I'm Reuven's son, so give me half of the estate of your father, because he took that from Reuven, and that's Reuven was my, I'm entitled to all of that. So Rabbi Avraham are come dinar. So Rabbi Avraham Rav, the Rav says, no, the original judgment stands, since the brother's estate already been distributed, so that case isn't, we don't like re-evaluate that case. Therefore, we assume it already happened. So therefore, it's assumed that it's all in possession of Shimon now. And now, the halacha is that Shimon's brothers have the right to say, go bring a proof that you're a brother, and they really win, because Amotzi Mechavei Avraya, and really Shimon's brother was winning, and he doesn't get anything. Even though this argument, Manashach, really should be the case, but since we don't reevaluate the case, we don't say that. Rabbi Amar Hazar Dino. No, we do go back to it. We go back to the fact that we say, he wins. The Avam's sons either give the portion as a brother, or they have to give him the entire state of Reuven. That would be the way the Manashach argument works. And where it says, Leva Biblit Adman Vekam Rabbanan Kalifikin. Anybody argue the argument of a previous Machlokas Rabbanan with an Adman in Gemara in the end of, towards the end of Mesechus Ksubas? Gemara talks about over there different Machlokas between Adman and Chachamim. So, Mishalach Binasayam Ve'Avdelo Derech Sadeim. So, if a person went, and he went overseas, and then the field, the path to his field, the field owner originally owned the path from a public road to his field, and that path now become taken over by other properties. He doesn't remember which one was his. Adman Amar Yelech Bektara. So his field is allowed to go to the shortest route, and then he's allowed. No, Yikach Loderech B'mei Amane. He must buy for himself from anybody, or get lost, meaning he's not on a path to the field. Because each one could argue, oh, it wasn't my field that your path went through, it was somebody else's field. And since he has no proof of which one it is, so then we're going to say that you're not able to answer that. But even though, as the bar says, we have a kasha though. Le Rabbanan, according to Rabbanan, Shapir Kamar Arman, the Abir Arman argues well, that there's definitely a claim to an access to, he definitely had a pathway to the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim through his field. How could you argue not that way? Where the property owners are four different fields come on four sides. So that's the case, and therefore each property owner can claim that it's really somebody else's equally. So then the Gemara says, if that's the reason, what's Arba's reasoning? Meaning that if they all have an equal claim, say, go to someone else. How can you just magically wave a wand and say that you give the shortest route? V'yamar Rava, and Rava said that, v'arba, da'asim mikoach arba. In the case of the four present owners, derive the rights from the four previous owners. V'arba, da'asim mikoach chad. A four person who came from the previous owner. Everybody could, they could push out, each one could push him off in case he has to pay, he has no claim, he has to pay for it. When do they disagree? Admon and the Chachamim. When you have one owner who is getting his rights from four previous owners. Admon, so you could say to the owner, hey, I don't care, you own the four fields, I have an access point to one of them, so give me them. And therefore, you give me the smallest route. I know that it's something that you bought. If you're gonna keep quiet, you can keep quiet, and I'm gonna give you a reasonable price. I'm gonna give back the field to all four owners, and you'll have no path again. Then you're gonna have no claim against them, because each one can argue it wasn't your field that was against them. So the Gemara says, Lema Rava, Rabbi Abba, Demek Rabbanan, Rabbi Yirmiyah, Demek Adman, Rabbi Abba would be like Rabbanan, and they would say that the halacha is that there's nothing to do, and therefore, here, we like Rabbanan, that is that Rabbi Abba would be like Rav, said in the name of Rabbanan, we don't go back to original din, and we focus on here. Yirmiyah would say like Adman, that we pass in the new Matthias, that this guy is entitled to his root. So the Gemara is going to say, no, Amar Lach, Rabbi Abba, no, I'm not Amar Lach, Fidar Avka Admon. I'm going to say, even like Admon, I can look Amar Admon Hasam, Ela Mishum, the Amar Lehi, Ma Nafshach. I could argue the field, however you're going to say it, it's going to be mine. Darki Chagwach, Aval Hacha, Meiki Limei Marachi, but here, in the case of the Machlokas, about the Yavams, is it possible to make this, the field? You can't say in absolute certainty which one it was, and therefore, since there originally was four owners, maybe it's going to be different. Okay, but Ezra Shem will pick up already Rabbi we're keep quiet, it's better for you. You can't argue that over here. Here this case is different. Rabbi Yirmiyah would explain that Rabbanan hold the original judgment with the case over here is different because you can reinstate it. There's nothing to do with the reinstating here. The guy has the right to give back the property to the four different people, in which case you'd be stuck. Okay, Savak Biyam and Ezra Shem will pick up in tomorrow's daf.